Even Universe podcast. I'm Mackenzie Atwood, and we finally got Kimberly Brooks, the voice of Jasper, on the show. And she's here with Michaela Dietz, who voices Amethyst, and storyboard artist and character designer Amber Craig, who also happens to be a huge Jasper fan. So today we're all about Kimberly's story as it relates to Jasper and what it took to bring Jasper to life. And we're also going to be diving into the relationship between Amethyst and Jasper's overall impact on the Crystal Gems and their story. She's not only been a big part of some of their biggest fights, she's also been central to some of the huge emotional arcs for the Crystal Gems. So let's get to it with Kimberly Brooks, Amber Craig, and Michaela Dietz. Thank you guys so much for coming in and talking to me.
Thanks, Mackenzie.
Thanks for having me.
Of course.
It's hey, not Kimberly. Just about me.
Okay. There's no me and team. Okay.
All right. To be fair, you're the newcomer here, right?
Yes, I am a newbie. It's very exciting.
Yeah. So let's just talk, like, what's your background in terms of voice acting?
Well, I'm a real legit VO actor who's been doing it for a really long time, like too long to mention, actually. let's not talk about, there's no numbers here, no age.
Okay.
But one of my first voiceover jobs was on Rugrats. And that tells you how long I've been doing that.
Who did your
voice? Well, I played Cree Summers' mom. On the Kwanzaa episode, but it was a flashback episode, so I was a kid, so it was really cool. And I got to sing a gospel song. It was really cool. And yeah, I've been doing voiceover for more than 20 years now.
Wow.
And yeah, I know. And it's really cool. And I've, you know, worked on a lot of different things.
Yeah.
I love your work on Voltron.
Thank you.
No, same. Really yeah. I need to catch up on there.
Oh yeah. It's good. And there's some new season's dropping, so it's really cool.
Nice.
So do you remember, like, when you first started hearing about Steven Universe or auditioning or whatever?
Yeah, actually, the first time I heard about it and watched it was when I booked the role of Jasper. I'm just being full disclosure here. But now my son is a huge fan. So he knew about it and he was like super excited when he heard
awesome.
About it. So, you know, he was like, "Mom, that's just really cool." So, that was it. And then I remember, you know, being in the booth with Rebecca and actually think it was, I was working with the cast the first time. So that was really cool. And it was just awesome. And Rebecca just kind of explained the character to me and the background. And we just went from there.
Right. What's her explanation when she's like giving you the shortened version of the character's like background?
Basically that she's really mean. She's really tough. She's a soldier and she's like sort of, you know, had a single focus. And it was just really cool to voice that kind of character because usually I don't get to do those kind of characters. So and the way Rebecca directs is really, really cool. Just felt like I was in great hands.
Yeah.
I remember meeting Kimberly for the first time. We were in the green room. And, you know, I mean, there's like sometimes a fruit platter there and people are just like talking over fruit. And she's like, "Hi, I'm Kimberly," and so nice. And then we get into the booth and she's just like, it's like, oh, this lady's good.
Oh my gosh. That's great.
It is a departure.
Yeah.
Oh, you're so cool. Thanks for saying that.
Amber, you'd seen Jasper before you started working on the show, right?
No, actually. When I started the show, it was only a rumor that there would be, like, there was like a rumor, like, I think there's going to be a gem that flies or something. That was Lapis, of course. But when I started the show and then I went through the backlog and caught up to Jailbreak, I was like, oh my goodness. But she definitely became my favorite character and then stayed my favorite character throughout the series.
Whoa, I'm honored.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
What makes her compelling to you? What's the draw to Jasper?
I think I like how she's a bit of like a meathead in a way. Just like she has a lot of issues from like coming from Earth and like almost like a shame from like losing the war. And but she's also like the perfect soldier. She's like the quintessential homeworld gem. And that sort of like culminates into this like very antagonistic and like single-minded sort of individual that can get herself into a lot of trouble just by the way she the way she steamrolls into like one thing after another just to get what she thinks needs to be done done.
Yeah, she's like there's like a lot more to her than you initially get from her introduction.
Mm-hmm.
But you were a fan from day one.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Nice, nice. Who gave the name Big Buff Cheeto Puff?
That was the fandom.
Oh, okay.
I didn't like it at first because I was like, Cheetos aren't scary.
No, they look like a Neanderthal's club. Yeah. It's just boom, boom, boom.
Compared to other snack foods, I think.
Yeah. I guess it's pretty tough.
They're not calling her like sleep carrot.
Yeah, exactly.
That's fair. Kimberly,
yeah.
So what's made Jasper like stand out or compelling to you in terms of like compared to other roles that you've done?
Well, one way that I can judge it is I've been doing a lot of conventions lately and for different things that I've been working on. But the biggest response I get for sure is Jasper. Like people just gravitate toward her. I think the situations I think are things that people can identify with and just the relationships, the abuse and those sort of things that people have dealt with in their own lives. I think I hear a lot of stories about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of hoping that there's some sort of redemption arc for her because I don't like leaving her hanging in the bubble there. I just kind of like, people ask me about that. You know, a lot of fans ask me about that. I get a lot of fan art and there's just, it's just a, an amazing character too. I've been lucky enough to be able to voice just the love. And I think just people understanding, even, you know, a character that's tough or can seen as the antagonist has a story to tell too. Mm-hmm. And a reason why she's in the mood she's in, we'll just call it.
She's also very like one of a kind. Like there's never been like such a massively strong, like soldier, like female character that wasn't a joke.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Right. That's also really cool to play.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. What about the voice? Like the, specifically the voice you do, how does that compare to other stuff that you've done?
I was really trying to remember how I came up with it. So I auditioned for the role just like every other actor does in my home studio. And I was trying to think of like the toughest person that I'd met that had like female energy. And there was this woman named Betty that worked at Sears and she was a refrigerator salesperson. And she was very persuasive. Let's just put it that way.
Oh.
I was not leaving that place without a refrigerator.
Oh, like persuasive in quote? Like,
yeah, she was just
persuasive.
Like, she's like, you're going to buy this refrigerator.
This is the softer side
the
of Sears.
Yeah. She's like, and I'm like, I want this one. She's like, we don't have that one. You're going to take this one. It was that kind of situation. I'm like, yes, Betty, I will buy this refrigerator. And so when it came time to audition for the role, she popped into my head because I had recently purchased the refrigerator she forced me to buy. And I do love the refrigerator, by the way. She wasn't wrong. But so that was sort of my influence and it stuck in my head. And so that's kind of where she came from. And I don't know if she still works there because the Sears recently closed down.
Oh.
I would love to track Betty down. I don't know if anyone knows Betty from the Santa Monica Sears. Tell her thank you.
Wow,
she
Betty.
Needs to know.
Yeah.
I love her.
She was awesome, though. She was very tough. She was very tough. She's like, we're all pulling from the same warehouse.
Yeah.
You can't have that refrigerator. I was like, well, I could go to another, the one I wanted, I could go to another. She says, no. Yeah, so, Betty, thank you.
That's so good. We need to track her down. We need to let her know.
Yes.
That's great.
She's impacted a lot of
lives. Oh, Betty.
Oh, my God. Michaela, in terms of Amethyst is sort of, you know, acts as a foil to Jasper in a lot of ways. What is it like sort of being that like rival? Like how's that gone for you?
Well, I mean, I think for Amethyst, Jasper, if there's anything, it's made her confront, I think, a lot of her insecurities and start to kind of cope with those or maybe tackle them. And I think, you know, like in the beginning when we met Amethyst, it was just a very I don't know, Amber can probably speak to this too, but like it felt like a very general like streak of anger and insecurity. And I think seeing Jasper, we kind of are able to pinpoint, oh, these are the exact things that make her feel bad. She's staring at it in the face. It's like Jasper is everything that she could never be. And I think in a cool way, by fighting that head on, it's like a very tangible thing to kind of try to fight against. I think that's helped her sort of accept what she isn't and what she is.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so coming up, I want to talk more about the whole Jasper versus Amethyst arc. All right, I am still here with Amber, Kimberly, and Michaela. Let's jump into it. The Amethyst and Jasper whole situation. Do you guys remember, like, how you felt when you were recording, like, Jasper and Amethyst's huge confrontation with, in, like, the kindergarten?
Yeah.
Like, bum, bum, bum.
mine was more like, bum, bum, bum. No. Very tense.
Yes. Well, we didn't actually record the big finale scene together.
No.
I did that by myself. We each, do you record it by
yourself? Yeah, I was by myself too.
Yeah, we did it by ourselves. Yeah. So that is, it's a little bit harder, I think.
Yeah. It definitely was harder, but I mean, I had worked with Kimberly before, and so we had felt each other's energy in the booth.
Right. We vibed deep. Yeah.
So I was able to like kind of tap into that a little bit. And,
and it's a lot more fun to play because you're just really in the moment when you're doing that. But I do remember recording that last one with Rebecca, and she was like, it was kind of like, okay, no, it can even be bigger. No, this is even a bigger moment. Like, there's a lot riding on this. So I remember just really going for it.
I remember a lot of, like, shouting.
Yeah.
And then one thing that does stick out to me is that really tender moment at the end where she says, like, come here, sis.
Oh,
and I remember being so, like, in my heart feeling, like, actual warmth.
Oh.
I'm like, oh, wow, we are the same. Wow.
That's really deep. Yeah.
Yeah, there's like kind of this intrinsic connection between Jasper and Amethyst that's, like, really interesting because, I mean, when you start the show, you don't really know much about how there's, like, a bunch of different gems, bunch of different units of each gem. And so Jasper was the first one who looked, you know, remotely like Amethyst in terms of just, like, their shape and whatever. And I felt like that was interesting as a viewer, but also just for the characters. What did you think about when you saw, like, their arc where Jasper is comparing, or well, they're both comparing themselves to each other?
Yeah, you know? I mean, it kind of reminded me of family. You don't always choose your family, but you're related to them. And it's really interesting that, like, Jasper is, as you said, the, like, supreme being of one kindergarten, and Amethyst is considered the complete runt of another. And I think it's really easy to make those comparisons, but, like, who are we kidding?
Yeah.
they're individuals. I don't know. What would you say, Amber?
Well, I think that they're obviously opposites, but it's almost like everything went wrong for both of them in the sense that Jasper came from the wrong place in, like, an embarrassing rush job kindergarten, like Peridot said. And Amethyst came from a perfect kindergarten and was the worst one of the bunch. But Jasper got to rise above, but really that was the worst fate. And Amethyst got to meet Rose Quartz. And, like, when Jasper was being corrupted, she said, you know, like, I see how you do it now. And it's just, like, kind of sad knowing that Jasper was the one who, like, missed such a big opportunity to, like, even though she's perfect, she doesn't feel perfect.
Right.
So. Right.
And in a very poetic way, I feel like they could have had each other's lives.
Yeah.
Very easily.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
Alternate universe.
Yes.
Isn't that what they call an AU online?
Yeah.
It is. It is. The lingo.
I love it. Yeah. I'm learning the lingo.
Incredible. Incredible. So when you were voicing the characters, was this something that they brought to you, like Rebecca and the crew talked to you about beforehand, or did you just sort of understand it more after the fact?
Well, definitely. I learned a lot in the session. And there, and Rebecca, you know, the whole crew, like the way they work is amazing. And of course, she's explaining the storyline and the backstory and how, you know, how big this moment is and what it means. And so, of course, I have that information as she's directing us. So it, that part I had, but, you know, watching it in the, in its entirety in within the show, you know, seeing it is a totally different thing. And you make discoveries that I didn't know about, you know, until I actually watched the show. So.
Right, right. One other big moment from that episode is that Jasper has her big outburst, and it's the first time that Pink Diamond is, like, name-dropped. First of all, just, like, general reactions. What were your reactions to that moment?
Well, I know because it's obviously a huge moment, for, you know, in the show and also for Jasper, you know, a huge reveal, as it were. But also because, you know, when I meet fans or I meet people, that's kind of like a thing that people talk about a lot. So I think it just, you know, it opened up a whole new can of worms.
Yeah.
It's Pandora's box.
It's like one of the biggest, like one of the biggest moments in like the plot.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
It's definitely like when you're watching and she screams Pink Diamond, it's like shivers down the back. Like, yeah. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
With all we know about Pink Diamond now, you know, it's crazy thinking back to like when it was just the name drop. And, like, that was the headliner, you
right.
know?
Yeah.
But, it was huge. And, like, we also, that whole fight was crazy because it ended up getting Jasper corrupted, which, oof, that was a lot.
Yeah.
It's painful to watch.
I know.
Yeah. But also beautiful. The art looked amazing.
Yeah. It was incredible.
I love when she rears down and then she rears back up and she's got spikes for eyes.
Right. Oh, my God.
It's so gross.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah.
It was pretty crazy, too, seeing that Peridot was, like, the one who, in the end, managed to take her down with that, like, metal spike.
Mm. Yeah.
Which just seems like it's funny thinking about, like, I mean, not funny, but it's interesting thinking about, like, you know, what their relationship was like, because we don't see much of that, you know? But, like, since they were on the ship together, you know what I'm saying?
I love what there is of the relationship of Peridot and Jasper. I think it's very funny to have such like such a stiff at the time and then someone who's also such a stiff. but I think like that's another like parallel where like Amethyst got everything that Jasper would have benefited from, the same with Peridot, but like a lot more visually with Peridot. Jasper says, you know, you look ridiculous. You don't have any dignity whatsoever in her eyes.
Right.
But in the end, Jasper keeping her pride poofed in like the most undignified way possible.
Right.
But I think it's a very interesting way to like close the book with like Peridot taking out Jasper.
Yeah, and it was also, it adds a whole new layer now that we know that Steven has Pink Diamond's gem, you know? Like it's like it's like poetic.
Right.
Yeah.
Thinking that, you know, she's like freaking out about Pink Diamond being gone when really she's like literally the gem is right in front of her. Yeah.
That feel when.
You have spikes for eyes.
Yeah. And it's right in front of you.
There was a fan edit of a picture of Jasper and it just said, "So y'all are going to let me play myself like that."
It's true. You do feel for Jasper, right?
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's just like, yeah, she did play herself. Like, it's like, and which brings us back to, come on, redemption arc?
Yeah.
Some sort of like, let's bring it back around. Maybe throw in a song there, Rebecca.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I think Jasper with a song. I don't know. I'm just saying.
How would she sing? Would she sing in her such a rough voice?
See, that's the thing. It depends on when the song comes.
Oh.
Right.
I mean, she could do a rap. Who knows?
That is something I need to see. Yeah.
I love that about the character, though. That, like, she, like, it, yeah, she's like this meaty, mean, stiff, but there's something soft inside of it.
Exactly.
There,
and maybe that needs to come out. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not a writer.
Let's like leave that brilliance to Rebecca. In the Dove thing.
Oh, yeah.
I think
yeah.
We saw a piece of that.
Yeah, it's true. And it's true. I yes, mean, you're right about that.
That was so fun to see.
That was really fun. Yeah. That was cool.
All right. I want to talk more about that and about Jasper and Lapis's fusion and conflict. So we'll do that with Kimberly, Michaela, and Amber coming up. All right, I'm back with Kimberly, Michaela, and Amber. So, yeah, let's just talk in terms of, like, takeaways sort of moving forward from all of the Jasper arc from season three. There have been a lot of, like, you know, she's been in a lot of fights with the gems and everything, but we've also seen some, like, you know, emotional arcs as well. What do you think that Amethyst and Steven took away from their whole confrontation with Jasper?
Oh, I think that fighting Jasper helped them get to this place of vulnerability where they had to rely on each other. And in doing so, I think they both became stronger for it. I think there's something to be said about, you know, not feeling like alone in the world, feeling like you have at least one person who you can rely on. And if you have an even greater support system, that's amazing too. And I think, you know, actually all of them, Jasper, Amethyst, Steven, I mean, it's pretty like a pretty human and maybe in this instance, like a gem feeling to feel alone or to feel different. And so, yeah, I think their takeaway was like, oh, wait, I'm not an island. Like, I have people out there who I can rely on.
Right, right. Do you hope that like viewers are taking away a similar message or something else too?
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, just even when they say, oh, us worst gems stick together, right? It's such a dear moment. And it's funny, when I meet Steven Universe enthusiasts, the ones who especially are in the hashtag Famethyst for Life, they often say that quote, which is cool.
That's
in a
really
way,
cool.
It's like, you're sort of the best gem if you can acknowledge or that you think, I don't know.
Yeah.
There's something
yeah.
to be said about like, okay, you recognize what's making you feel bad about yourself. And in doing so, you can like reclaim it and mm-hmm. be
turn
awesome.
It around.
Yeah.
yeah you turn
yeah.
it around.
Yeah.
There's another big arc for Jasper is like the whole Lapis situation about like, you know, just like having a toxic relationship in your life that brings you down.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you were like hoping would come across like in the end of that arc?
Wow, that's a really good question. It's a very deep question because it's complex, you know, and it was about the relationship. And I think a lot of people recognize that it wasn't just Jasper. And so that was kind of interesting. But I think, I don't really know. It's a hard question for me to answer because I don't know. It's hard to play the bad guy, I guess. And
right.
But I'm still trying to find what the good qualities and the things in Jasper that people can resonate with. But Amber, the expert over here, I kind of want to hear, like, I don't know, to help me justify Jasper.
Well, I think what's interesting, and I didn't do any of the writing for these episodes, but I've spent plenty of time thinking about it. I think what's really interesting about Lapis and Jasper fusing and tormenting each other is that sometimes you can end up in a place where you're with someone who just brings out the absolute worst in you, and then you're bringing out the worst in them. And the cycle that you can get caught in,
yeah,
where it's like just negativity breeds negativity.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In like,
it's feeding itself, yeah. like each other.
Uh-huh. It's this sort of like dark energy
right.
that can be really self-sustaining.
Because it's at the end of the day, it's still energy, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, you know, the two characters are putting into each other.
Yeah. They've spent a lot of time in, like, in a horrible way. It's almost as if, like, and Jasper says this in Alone at Sea, like, I know you better than, like, everyone else does because we've spent our time together in this horrible place. But that obviously doesn't mean that she knows, like, the good in Lapis, because to her there is no good
exactly.
in Lapis. Yeah.
They're only,
you just see the absolute worst, yeah.
And I also thought Alone at Sea was very interesting that, and I went to all of the pitches because I was exceptionally excited about it, but it went through a lot of iterations where, like, trying to find the perfect balance of, like, Jasper has learned a new way to approach, like, Lapis with this proposition. And she doesn't say fuse with me. She says, you know, like, let's fuse again. Like,
yeah,
it's more like a mutual, like, question.
It's not as demanding as it is.
Yeah.
Let's do this again.
Yeah. And it's also very, like, manipulative the way that she says it. Like, no one else can handle your power.
Mm-hmm.
And it has a lot of, you know, like, angst and fear from Lapis, because she's not really someone who wants to be so evil, I guess.
Right. She's not comfortable there, but yeah, but it does. See, this is the part where it's uncomfortable because it totally mirrors an abusive relationship.
Oh, yeah.
With the the language, like you said, the manipulation and all of that stuff. So it's just, but, like, it takes two to tango in that situation too.
Yeah.
Anyway, but.
Yeah,
I think Garnet said it best. Those two are really bad for each other.
Yikes. Same.
Oh, yes.
So this is actually bringing up what we were talking about earlier with the Dove campaign.
Mm.
Yeah, we got to see a totally different side of Jasper in that, which I thought was really fun. What did you guys, like, think when you were voicing it?
It was cool because it was like
so much fun with you.
Yeah, that was really fun. We got to do that. We did do that together. But I think just the whole approach, the behind the scenes kind of approach to it, is really just an interesting way of doing it. So you can see another side of Jasper. So that was really cool.
And it's funny how you play Jasper on the show, and you took those same elements and just with a little twist of it, Jasper became this hilarious.
Yeah, she just had her. She had her moment.
Character. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
I love how begrudgingly she's just like, think about where that's coming from.
Yeah. We were laughing so hard.
We really were.
Yeah, that was your deliveries. I remember, like, looking at Rebecca through the glass and just dying. Like, oh man.
Yeah.
So funny.
Yeah. So there was a little redemption there, I think. So that was good. I think it's cool to have those two different levels.
A glimmer of something.
A glimmer. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Possibly. Yeah. Slight glimmer.
Yeah.
It shows, like, a lot of, like, what the fans see in Jasper too, you know, like, in a different environment. She's a different character, you know?
Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
It's, like I said, she's in this situation. It's all about the situation she finds herself in. So we need to see her in a different situation.
Yeah, like, I mean, I saw that Seth Rogen is doing the, like, Metro announcements in Toronto. I would love to hear Jasper do that.
Oh my God.
LA. Be like, move away from the door. Like, stand back.
Well, I'm going to be in Toronto.
Same.
We're going to be in Toronto. Oh, oh my gosh. Awesome.
Okay, so
oh, cool.
It brings it back to the refrigerator salesman.
Yeah.
That's the perfect.
It makes an outlet. She really does. She really does.
Or like a tough love counselor somewhere.
Oh my God.
I think there's many possibilities for Jasper.
Can you imagine Jasper is like a yoga instructor?
Is she flexible enough to do yoga? I feel like she's like, touch your toes.
Touching
your face. She like bends over and it's like, and if you can't do it, it's because you're weak.
You're puny and weak. Yeah, no, I'm not sure that would work out.
Oh, please.
I don't think people would come back.
Oh, it's so great. It's so great. Or like as a Lamaze coach.
Wow.
Any kind of outlet. It's the key for her.
Yeah.
Painting little figurines or something.
Kimberly's Megaphone. Performance is so infectious though. Like even so when we were doing like the zoo.
The human zoo, yeah.
And then there are other like Jaspers there.
Yeah.
But so when Kimberly Skinny was Jasper. In the booth doing her lower voices, I just started getting lower and lower and lower and to the point where we were
having a low voice contest.
Like, no, I just wanted to be more like you. And then then Rebecca was like, oh, we have to do your previous lines over because you got really low. Like, to like match.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I just remember having fun in the session and cracking up.
Awesome.
Even though we were talking about some pretty serious stuff.
Yeah.
Truth. Isn't that always the way?
It is. Comic relief, I guess.
Okay, guys, thank you so much for coming on and talking to me.
Oh, thanks. This was really fun. Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
I was going to say that. Really? I was going to say always a pleasure.
Still there.
You still can.
Girl, get it. Say, you got it.
It's always a pleasure.
Now I feel like Jasper needs to say it. It's always a pleasure.
The Steven Universe podcast is produced by Charles Abadje, Stacey Parra, and Conrad Montgomery. Special thanks to Rob Sorcher, Cartoon Network Studios, The Crooniverse, and Turner Studios in Atlanta. Please subscribe to the Steven Universe podcast at Apple Podcasts so you never miss an episode. And please leave us a 5-star rating and review while you're there. We love your feedback. Or you can always listen on Google or Amazon smart speakers. Just say, "Hey Google," or "Hey Alexa, play the Steven Universe podcast." I'm Mackenzie Atwood, and I'll see you next time.